Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening and open up to Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. Galatians chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. And this past week, if you were not able to be with us, and or if you're visiting here with us this evening, we started a series, The Fruit of the Spirit. And we somewhat jumped out of order just a little bit, just felt like the Lord was leading us to jump into one of the fruits of the Spirit right away, looking at the subject of temperance, and just entitling that message, Controlling 2021. And now as we are in 2021, and as we are gathered together as God's people here on a Sunday evening, I'd like for us to look and back up a little bit before we get into verses number 22 and verse number 23, and somewhat set a little bit of a foundation once again tonight as we begin to make our way into what is called generally the fruit of the Spirit. That is, for you and I living today, looking more, acting more, and being like our Abba Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you find your place here in Galatians chapter number 5, if your health allows you to this evening, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter and number 5 this evening. Galatians chapter number 5. Brother Bert, if you don't mind, I am so sorry. I think I brought my water out back, and Brother Dan had it here, and I think I left it out back. Do you mind grabbing me a little bit of water this evening? That would be wonderful. And this morning, just preaching through, and my voice is going to get back used to this kind of atmosphere. We haven't seen rain. Lancaster in California averages right at 2 inches of rain every year, and we've had that already since we've been here. So my body is getting used to getting back. You say, why do you need water? I don't know. I just need it. So Galatians chapter 5, would you look with me at verse number 16, and please follow along as I read. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Once again, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." This evening, I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture once again in this series, The Fruit of the Spirit, and concentrate on the subject of the choice of the believer, the choice that you and I have as a believer this evening. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the song service this evening. Thank you, Father, for Brother Josh stepping in this evening. And Lord, how we have met with you, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Father, singing unto you, not, Lord, for man's applause, not for look at me, but no, Savior, to worship the one who is worthy. And Father, that's not us, that's you. Lord, now as we come to the reading and the teaching and the preaching of God's Word, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say tonight. Would you hide me behind the cross? Father, thank you, Lord, for our visitors who are here this evening, even those who are on staff here, and pastors and others, Lord. Thank you, Savior, for once again allowing us to congregate here in the Indianapolis area. Father, be with those who are watching via live stream this evening. Lord, may they open their Bibles and get ready to hear the Word of God. And Father, once again, I pray that as we head out those back doors, what would be on our mind is not the sports activities of this week, and Father, not just the excitement of starting back school tomorrow, but Father, that you would be on our mind. Lord, we love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse number 16, really before we get to the fruits of the Spirit, and even before we get to a list of laying off some of the fleshly things that you and I battle with each and every day, we have this really foundational verse here that's found in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you and I do not choose to walk in the Spirit, then someone else will make that decision for us. Now watch very carefully. If you and I do not make the choice, make the decision to walk in the Spirit, well then, that choice is going to be made for you and I as saved believers tonight. For instance, oftentimes with our kids, will ask them, what would you like to eat? Which is not a great thing to do, especially at a restaurant. And they're going through and they don't know what they want. And even today, we're out to eat with a family in the church and we were at a Mexican restaurant. And you ask your kids, what do you want to eat? Ah, pizza. They don't have pizza here. I want chicken wings. Yo, it's looking through everything. It's a Spanish restaurant, for goodness sake. Rice, beans, is that what you want? You ask them. So finally, I heard my wife say, if you don't pick, she's talking to one of our kids, she said, if you don't pick, then I'm going to make the decision for you. And understand, when we talk about this choice here, that is kind of what is taking place, that you and I do have that choice. And if we do not choose, then someone else is going to make that decision. And that decision is going to be the flesh. The flesh is going to make that choice for us. This is a choice that you and I must make each and every day. So how do we make the decision, watch very carefully, to walk in the Spirit? Well, the whole kind of foundation of this sermon is going to be this, that you and I are going to make this choice to walk in the Spirit, and the way that we do it is by prayer and by a yielded life. It's by following or choosing to follow our Savior. It is you and I, through prayer and a yielded life, we choose to receive the supply of the Spirit of God. In fact, the book of Philippians says it this way, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with that all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Making the right choice or making this decision to walk in the Spirit, for some is not always easy. That means this, for some of us, or maybe you know someone in your family, that it's not always easy for them to make a choice. The decisions just don't come naturally to them. My wife would tell you right up front that I like to look at cars. I've had both of my vehicles for, 7 years and about 10 years. And they're Toyotas, and they run good, but I still love to look at cars. But she'll tell you that I look, and when it comes to, I think, Harry, I remember about 2 years ago, we're looking at a Suburban, and there's our family of seven. And, I don't know, just a minivan is a minivan. And I like our minivan, but it's kind of a Suburban. It's manly. It's a Chevy. American built, baby. You know what I mean? Here, we're going to get a Suburban. She wasn't excited. I said, here, man, look, honey, I'm really looking at Suburban. It's nice. I mean, it's pretty. And she knew I was not going to make that decision. And she was right. We're still driving our minivan. But nonetheless, it's a decision that's hard for me to make. And before you go laughing at me, let's just say some of you ladies, you know, I can walk into a store, and this is a Hagar suit. I can walk in. It probably took me, four or five minutes. I know my suit jacket size. I know what pants I wear. I know what my fit is. I walk in. Boom, this looks good. This black matches. Obviously, I'm like an all black. I'm good to go. White shirt. I've got it. I'm good. Some of you ladies, woo! 2022 will be here, and you will still be going to every store, and this looks good. Does this look good? And we're over there on our phones. Yeah, babe, that looks awesome. The decisions don't always come naturally to everyone. But that Christ in us wants to help you and I make those decisions. In fact, we can even go as far to say that he wants to make those decisions for you and I. It's a benefit that you and I have in our Abba Father. It is like a child that is getting into a vehicle. They get in, and what do? They just get in, they sit down, they buckle up, and they're along for the ride. I'm the one as the father, or my wife is the one as the mom, that's making the decisions. Where to go, what our time's going to be, when we stop at a red light, when we go, what our speed is going to be. They just sit back and relax and are along for the ride. Well, in many ways, when you and I get saved, we have the Word of God, but we also have the Holy Spirit that is leading, guiding, and directing our lives. It's truly a magnificent benefit that you and I have. But we have this choice that has to be made each and every day to walk in the Spirit, okay? So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, there are several things that I want us to point out just looking at this verse to lay a foundation as we dive into the rest of this series. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? We see here the warning of the Christian. Number one this evening, the warning of the Christian. So because there is a choice, now we have what often is referred to in the Word of God as liberty. That means this, you and I are able to choose. As believers, we stand in liberty, are not bound by legalism because of the grace of God. That means when you and I get saved, really we are free in our spirit. That means you and I have grace and you and I have mercy. There are oftentimes those that will say, well, I can never get saved. You know, I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior because, I mean, you're just so bound. I could never live that life. I mean, y'all go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and goodness, Wednesday night. And, you know, you can't drink and you can't partake of this. And, oh, it's just, you're so in chains. But what the world doesn't realize is that you, listen now, friend, you and I are not in chains. You and I are not bound. No, you and I are set free in Christ. You and I are the ones that are living the real, true life that is free in our Savior. It's the world that is bound to sin. It's the world that is in chains. It's the world that does not know true light like you and I have and are even to show to others. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is them. They don't know that light. It is them that are in darkness, and it's those that are bound to their sin. You and I, when we get saved, it's not that we get saved and, well, yeah, now we got these rules and regulations. And I know oftentimes in this generation we live, I'm not sure why, but people are afraid of the word standards. Oh, we got standards and we got this. And it's just, it's almost the world looks at us and some lives are Christians are living their lives that is just down and it's this depressive and it's so oppressive. And I don't even know how I'm going to make it. I guess, like, rules and regulations and I got to go by it. I don't even know how I'm going to live my life. No, friend. No, when we got saved, we're free. And you and I ought to be motivated by God's grace as we use our liberty the way that God intended for us to use the liberty that He's given you and I. Did you catch that? We ought to be motivated to use the liberty that God has given you and I to use it in the way that God has intended for us to use it. You say, Pastor Shepherd, what do you mean? Well, liberty is not a selfish pleasure. In this passage of Scripture, in verse number 13, it says, for brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That means when we use liberty as a base to activate our flesh, we have just taken God's gift and we've turned it into Satan's weapon. The Bible says it this way in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior Jesus Christ. God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously. Once again, watch now, you and I have a choice that is given to us. You and I have a decision to make. We can either choose to use liberty in a selfish pleasure, fulfilling our selfish desires, or maybe put it this way, our worldly cravings, or we can choose to use the liberty to guide us through life, living it in a righteous manner, in a godly manner, kind of putting it this way, watch now, it's called godly living. It's the way that God meant for you and I to live our life. Now on a Sunday night, here's where we can dig in. Let's get down to the nitty gritty for a little bit, because we can fly through this message and good, great, let's take down chairs and get ready for tomorrow. And or we can concentrate on for just a moment and look at 2021, where this is where the rubber meets the road. This is a problem that not only grandparents and parents are going to face, but college students, you're going to be faced with this very soon. Our kids are going to be faced with this if God tarries and we don't hear the trump. We're not called up out of here. Here's what we're going to face. Liberty. Okay? We're thankful for liberty. Are we thankful for liberty in Christ? Say amen. Of course. I mean, isn't it amazing that God designed you and I with a free will, a choice? What a God that you and I serve, that He saved us and He'd make us all robots and we're all just the same. No. He gave us that free will, that choice. We get to live our life. But here is where the culture is leading us, to where you and I have that liberty. And now, because of those who are taking the Word of God out of context, who are not rightly dividing the Word of truth, it's all of a sudden, I'm free in Christ and I can live however I want to and I can do whatever I want to. Can I have any lifestyle I want to? Why? Because I'm free in Him. And yet, that's contrary to what the Word of God says. That's not the way that God designed our life. You say, well, Pastor Shepherd, who then is the judge? this is the big question. Who's the judge? I mean, whose dress standard is right? Well, wait a minute. Whose music standard is right? No, wait a minute. Who is right on this preference? And, well, who's right over here? And well, we're all saved tonight. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Mm-hmm. It's a little nerve-wracking. If you're saved tonight, say amen. We're saved, okay? But wait a minute. What if we disagree on something? Well, Pastor, you need to settle this tonight. You know, I said, and for many of you who have worked with college students or teenagers, they'll come up to you and, is this right? Well, Pastor, is this right? Sister so-and-so, is this right? Can I listen to this? Can I do this? Can I partake in this? Well, who ultimately, watch very carefully, who ultimately is the judge? We don't have a Baptist pope. It's not somebody sitting up here saying, well, here's the ultimate decision. No. Pastor Shepherd walked out tonight. It wasn't Pastor Neighbor. Hear ye, all rise for Pastor Shepherd. And I up here, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to live like, no. Who's going to be the judge of all these things that we talk about? Ready for this? The Word of God. It's this. It's the book. It's the Bible. It's in the inerrant, preserved, inspired Word of God that you and I hold in our hand. You're wrong. Yeah, I'm wrong. Oh, okay, I feel better. We're all wrong. You know what's never wrong? This book. Amen. This book will guide you and I. This Bible will help you and I. This Bible will never lead you and I astray. It is the very foundation of the Christian life. You want a better marriage? Get in this book. You want to raise godly kids? Get in this book. You want to live for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Get in this book. You want to make 2021 count for Him and not just another year off the calendar, just not another year to go by, not just, okay, here we are. And Easter was here. Halloween was here. Christmas was here. Okay, 2021's gone. You want 2021 to last forever? I mean, that means lay up crowns for Him. Then you and I have to get back, not making decisions based on me and I and what I want and my preference, and this is the way I was brought up, and this is the way we've always done it, and this is the way I want to go, and this is the way the culture is saying, and this is what opinion is saying. No, friend, may you and I step back for a moment and stop putting us at the forefront. Stop saying it's got to be all about me and what I want. No, for just a moment, or maybe even this year, we get back to saying it's not what we want or what we think or what I desire. Maybe take us out of it altogether and get back to, what does thus saith the Lord? Because ultimately that's what's going to guide us. It has to be the book. The Bible is going to be the judge. Now, wait a minute. I know. It's a Sunday night crowd. So I love Sunday nights because we can dig into the Word. But let's just be super frank this evening. One day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account for Cross Point Baptist Church. And I'm going to give an account for my family. I'm going to give an account for me. Thomas Shepherd, I'm going to give an account. I'm going to stand before Him. It's going to be at that moment when I stand before Christ, I'm going to say, you know what, God, to be honest with you, I don't know if you wrote that down wrong, but Josh, back me up on this. Tell God, will you? I mean, tell Him, I was a judge, but just bear with me on this. Tell Him, I mean, we were there, we served together, right? No. But Ted, it's not me standing before you and your family, or you before me and my family. But the hey being, no. We stand before God, friend. You and I stand before Him and Him alone. He is the ultimate judge. He is the one that has always existed and always will exist. And friend, He knows all. He sees all. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He knows you and I. He knows our heart. He will be the ultimate judge. Liberty is not for self-pleasure. Okay, so what is liberty for? Well, liberty is for serving others. Galatians chapter 5 here in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 13. Look what it says here. For brethren, ye have not called unto liberty, only not to use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Watch what it says here, separated by a comma. It says, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have been motivated by grace to live the Christian life and to live it through the grace that God pours it down through His provision. I love the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and or chapter 8 and verse number 6 says that you and I can, by grace, you and I can give. I love the verse in Colossians 4 and chapter number 6 says that by grace you and I can communicate spiritually. And the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. In 2021, our mindsets must shift from what can I gain? What's in it for me? How does this benefit me? You see, God's grace bestowed upon you and I, the liberty that He has given you and I, He wants you and I to so take on the likeness of Him that we use that liberty, that grace, for what? For helping and serving others. But isn't that contrary to what we're being taught nowadays? And so the teenagers living nowadays, they're being brought up with a totally different mindset. To be honest with you, it's snuck into the local churches as well. Is it amazing how many deacons, you've been there, everyone who helps the Welcome Center, Sunday school teachers, somebody walk in, Brother Matthew, what can you do for my family? Pastor Brent, we're visiting churches, and I'd just like to know, what can you do for me, is our mindset. But how can I be involved? What's it take for me? What's it going to take for me to get up there and to sing, you know, because I'm a pretty awesome singer. What's it going to take for me, you know, to our churches have so taken on that it's us, it's me, it's mine. I want it. Climb the corporate ladder. Get as high as you can. Doesn't matter who you take out. You take out. That's contrary to what the life that our Savior lived. Do you forget just on December 25th we celebrate, and I'm not here to argue when Christ was born or the day, but Gregorian calendar or whatever. We take December 25th and we've used that as what? The time when Christ was born. We celebrated His birth. Do you remember where Christ was born? He was born in a, say it out loud, manger. A stable, a barn. It wasn't the hospital right around the corner with the greatest NICU section and the woman and children's wing and the best nurses, the greatest doctors, and two or three anesthesiologists standing by just in case. Nope. In fact, when our Savior was born, they didn't have room for Him in a motel. No, days in, all full, sorry. Got anything? Nope, full. Checked Airbnb? Nope, everything's gone. I mean, it's sold out. Y'all know everybody's here paying tax? I mean, this place is packed. What do you got? You know, we parked the animals out back. That's where our Savior is born. The life that our God lived on this earth was not me, look at I'm a king, look how high I've gotten, boy, I'm telling you. No, I mean, he rode in on a donkey at the end of his life, but you look at the life that our Savior lived, and what was the life that He lived? Healing others, touching others, getting into hearts of others, battling with the publicans and the Pharisees. What was He doing? He was not living a life of me and I'm exalted and here I am. And boy, here's who I've been. Could He have been? Without a doubt. Did He have the power to be? Yes, He had the power to be. But yet, He lived a selfless life. And why did He live it? For you and me. And He paved the way for you and I, watch, to follow in His footsteps of not living in the liberty of woohoo, I'm free and I got it and I can do whatever I want. I'll step on whoever I want. I'm going to make it to the top. No, he's given you and I the liberty today so that we can have that liberty and have that choice to walk in the Spirit. Why? So that you and I can serve others. And in 2021, the warning to the Christian is this: be careful not to get into your liberty and to use it for the occasion of the flesh, but no, getting back to not just religion, not just, oh, well, the this or the this, and no. Put all that aside and getting back to what does the very Word of God say? What does it say? That you and I are to live a life that's helping and serving others. Yeah, now I remember it's a Sunday night, so it's not, nobody's told me anything or, you know, written me an email. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit. So you just buckle your seatbelt for a minute. Let's jump on board. We want to have deacons here because, well, yes, you know, isn't that the deacon's job? You know, isn't that the Sunday school teacher job? I know there's somebody in the back and they're visiting, but, you know, the Welcome Center people who, I think it was George Shine, tell you back there. That's George. Yeah, it's you and your wife. That's your job, you know. They weren't graded, and they wrote a mean, you know, Google review. I'd say, what? I just blame George because he's the one back there. Why didn't he catch him? That's why we got Pastor Shepherd here. Yeah, Pastor Shepherd, boy. It's Pastor Shepherd, boy. That's their job. That's Pastor Brent, boy. That's Pastor Chris, and boy, yeah, that's we're all called to serve. It's not, oh, the pastoral staff. Oh, and then we kind of have the deacons, and then we kind of have, you know, down here, and then, well, I just kind of volunteer to put up chairs. I'm not really nobody. You know what the Bible says? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I volunteer to be a nobody. Because it's not these all the way up. It is you and I coming together and serving this area. I know we pick on California, and Carrie and I just came from California, and I understand. And it is a dark place, and it needs light. It needs more churches, and it needs godly people there. But we pick on other states. Can I just tell you, there are hundreds of thousands in this area right around this 25-acre campus that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me believe that. Say amen. Good. Yeah, that's Pastor Dan's job, right? Isn't that his job? I mean, is the one, didn't we hire him like 80 years ago? Isn't that what he was supposed to do? Take care of, I'm just kidding, Pastor Dan. Isn't that what he was supposed to do? No. What? It's for all of us. Did we read in Matthew chapter 28 this morning? Are we supposed to take the gospel out? Well, yeah, that means, you know, those that have been here for a long time and buddy, their name's on the pew, their name's on the piano because it was donated. It said, no, it's the serving together. There is the warning of the Christian. But number two, would you write this down? I'm going to move a little bit quicker tonight. But number two, there is the walk of the Christian. Look at Galatians 5. Look at verse number 16 again. Number two, the walk of the Christian. It says, this I say then, look at the wording here, walk. The word walk is written in present tense. It is not something that happened in the past or only has one occurrence. The word implies a continual walking. How often have we heard the question, how's your walk with God? In 2020, how is your walk with God? Well, my walk with God is great. Well, you cannot answer great if you've only spent time with Him in the past. You and I must continually spend time with God, yielded to His Spirit through prayer to establish and maintain a walk with Him. It is a walk in the, watch very carefully, the Spirit. Look at this verse with me. It says, this I say then, walk, look at the next three words, in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means to have your daily life under His control, and this means under the direction of the Word of God. You and I must be in His Word continually to gain truth for your everyday walk in the Christian life. To be led of the Spirit means to be delivered from the life of bondage. The Holy Spirit's leading is always away from the direction of sin and to the direction of God. That means that this year in 2021, every dad, and here for just a moment, look up here, every husband, watch very carefully. That means as you and I have a walk with God, it's not a walk that took place just a couple weeks ago. It is a walk with God that has to be or must be or should be, can I put it that way, each and every day. For every mom that's in here, for every wife that is in here, our walk with God ought to be every day. For the college students who are back from college, being able to meet some of you, and man, we praise the Lord that you're here, but just because you're back from PCC or Bob Jones or Maranatha doesn't mean that you just get a sabbatical from the Word of God. No, it means that you and I ought to be in the Word of God each and every day. Why? Because it's not just a walk that, well, happened a long time ago when I got there and it was a good year, but you know, I just kind of moved on. No, it has to be a walk that is daily. Why? Because there were those, take away COVID-19 for just a moment. There were those that in the last 10 years used to sit in these seats. In the last 5 years, they used to be involved in the choir. Maybe they used to play a piano or be on the deacon board. They had kids that loved God and ran around here and ran, is it Bible Truth for Kids or WANA, whatever the case is, on Wednesday nights. And man, their kids used to run all around this building. They were involved. We're thinking of them right now. Well, what happened, Pastor Defoe? They just one day, I wake up and I just call it quits. You and I both know that's not how it happens. You know what happens? They stopped walking in the Spirit. They started walking in something else. A marriage just says it's woohoo, we're so in love, and it's great, man. I've been on my honeymoon, I feel like, for 15 years. And we wake up the next day, you know what, let's call it quits. You know what, I know, it's just, we're done, this isn't working out. We're not in love anymore. And then the divorce happens, and a split comes. What will that happen? Someone stopped walking in the Spirit, and they started walking in the flesh. What I want, what I feel. I just feel like we're not. I just don't know if the compatibility. I just don't. What happened? A drunk doesn't become a drunk overnight. What happened? The liberty of the flesh came in with just a taste. That's why the Bible refers to it that sippeth. It's not wise. Kind of very foolish. Why? Because of where it leads, my friend. It has to be not just a warning of be careful the way that you use your liberty. Thank God we have it. It's a massive benefit to you and I, the freedom that we have. But then secondly, there comes this walk of the Christian. And that walk of the Christian during this next several months and during this year is not, well, I walked or, you know, I did and I was okay with. No, it is continually working on you and I drawing close to our Savior. It is a walk in the Spirit. It is a chosen walk. Look at verse number 18 here with me. Look at verse number 18 here of this Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. It says this. But if, I'm going to read it slow because I want you to catch it. Ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You and I have a choice as to how you and I live. The Bible does not say you will be led by the Spirit. It says, if ye be led. It's a choice. Paul put it this way in Romans. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You and I have to choose those compartments in our heart, those guest rooms of our heart, that you and I are going to empty the flesh and we're going to allow God to fill it. We're going to allow God to fill our lives. Can I just tell you, in the culture that you and I live, I happen to like, you can judge me later, but whatever. I happen to really like a show. It's an old show. It's back in the 40s, 50s, named Andy Griffith. And I remember when Christmas, Carrie bought me all the DVD set, and I watched all the seasons over and over. And I happen to like Andy Griffith, okay? Nonetheless, we've been to Mayberry. Remember our anniversary? We rode up in Mayberry, and we saw Floyd's Barber Shop. Why am I going into this? But anyways, we saw Floyd's Barber Shop, and it was really great. We saw Andy Griffith's house, and trying to get tickets there because you could stay overnight, but it was booked for a long, long time out, and now it's Corona, probably never get in. But nonetheless, I really like the show. You know, I like a whole lot about Andy Griffith, just that whole scene, okay? Just the whole, everything about Andy Griffith is this. It seemed like simpler times, did it not? I mean, they Aunt B, and they would gather around the dinner table, and, you know, they would Opie with, you know, this. The words of life, and you know, you just have to love Barney. I mean, when Barney left and went to color, it just wasn't a great show anymore. But anyways, I love just the simplicity of those times. Can I just tell you, in the times that you and I live, we don't live in those times anymore. Go, 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 do, go, go, hurry, hurry. Oh, Pastor, it's 6:51. We got to be out because we got to get the chairs down. We got to get set up. We got to go to school. We got basketball practice. We got to let out. We need a bigger parking lot. We got to go here. We got to do this. Oh, it snows coming. It's snow. I feel like it's been calling for snow for like the last 3 days, and I ain't seen any snow, so I'm not going to really go with the weather, whatever weather channel I'm watching, but oh, it's going to snow, and it's hurrying fast. We got this, and then our life's over. And that's our life. You ever just yearn for kind of simpler times of just shh? No, God, hurry, hurry. Lord, we got to pray. Oh, honey, let's get up to the altar. We got to pray about this situation. Oh, dear Lord, please work in our lives. We just need you to work in our lives. We just need this done. And Jesus said, amen. God, what's the decision? Where are you? Oh, he didn't answer it. Okay, plan B. Let's just do what we want. That's what we're going to do. That's kind of life we live in. And yet God said, shh. Be still. Know that I am God. Shh. Whoa. Yeah, but ESPN. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. Oh, shh. Yeah, but Facebook. Oh, I forgot to write them back. Oh, Instagram. Twitter. Shh. Be still and know that I'm God. The walk of the Christian for you and I living this year, 2021. And I know I've said a lot, 2021. I'll get off of it. It's the first Sunday, so every pastor in America is preaching on 2021. And so, I mean, do we not preach? We're all preaching it right now. We're setting a foundation. The warning, the walk, number three, and lastly this evening, the warfare within each Christian. Look at Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. Watch what it says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh refers to the fallen nature still within the believer. The body itself is not simple. Appetites are not necessarily simple, but the tendencies of the old nature are always downward. John chapter 8 and verse number 34 says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin is alluring. You and I are in a battle. You and I are going to face many trials this year. Can I ask just tonight, it's just our family here this evening, Cross Point family. Can I ask if you were of the age of 19, now look at me very carefully, I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. If you're the age of 19 and below, 19 all the way down to the little three-year-old that's in here, would you please stand tonight, just for a moment, would you stand for just a moment? Just go ahead and stand. Everybody's looking around, am I going to stand? Okay, just stand, good. Wow, amen. Now, I want parents and grandparents and Can we turn around? Everybody look for just a moment. Look around here just a moment. I'm actually a little bit shocked. Look how many young people are at Cross Point Baptist Church. Isn't that a blessing? Amen? You're like, oh, I don't know them. They were running through the hallways. That was the Shepherd family. Sorry about that. We'll get on to them later. But nonetheless, look at all these young people. Now, young people, let me talk to you just a second as your pastor. I'm going to get to know you. We already love so many of you. And you say, so many? What about me? Well, we haven't met everybody just yet, but we love you. We're praying for you. I know that Pastor Blake and Miss Charlotte, they love you and so many others that are involved in your lives. But let me put it this way. There's a war raging for you right now. It's raging for you. That means this. Satan wants to destroy your life. Hate is a strong word, isn't it, teenager? Isn't it, young person? It's a strong word. You can nod your head. It's strong, isn't it? Strong. Hate. Oh, hate. We used to get in big trouble. I mean, we get in trouble for a lot of things, but it was an automatic spanking if we ever said we hated one of our brothers and sisters. It was just the ultimate lying and hate. We could never use that word. Why? It's a strong word. I want to use that word tonight and say this. Satan hates you. He despises that you're in this room tonight. He can't stand that you were up playing that instrument this evening. He can't stand that tomorrow you're not going to be learning at Cross Point Baptist Academy School. You're not going to be learning about evolution and the lies that the public system is trying to puppet. He hates that we're teaching creation. Hates it. The 17 of you or so that are at Bible college, the 17 of you, he hates that you're at Bible college. He hates that you sit in chapel. He hates that many of you this evening, watch now, he hates that you opened a Bible in your lap. He'd rather you do? Pull out your phone so you could just scroll through endless videos on TikTok. That's what he wants. Get your mind off of it. There is a battle raging for you. Said, no, Pastor Shepherd, it's not really me. I mean, I'm only 16 years old. I mean, it's Pastor Foe and so many others, you know, in here. It's the, have you referred to it before? The hoary heads that are in here, the gray heads, or those who have, you know, kind of gone on before, the 40s, the 50s. That's who Satan's after. Yeah, sure, he hates us and he's after us. He wants to destroy our marriages. But I'm just telling you, a lot of us have lived our lives. Your life is yet to be lived. He wants to derail you this year. He wants to put lustful things in your mind and in your hand. He wants to use that device that you have to destroy your mind and your future ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to destroy it. Teenager, young person, you have a choice to make tonight. Will you walk in the Spirit this year? Well, I don't know. Mom and Dad, what do you think? No. If you're saved this evening, you have to make that choice. This is yours. Are we going to be here to help you every step of the way? Is Carrie and I going to be here however we can assist your parents without a doubt? We're going to ask that same help with the five kids that we're bringing. But ultimately, let me just look at you in the whites of your eyes, as my mom used to say. We're in big trouble. She said, look at the whites of my eyes. The terror would come in. I don't want to. Let me look at the whites of your eyes for just a second. Let's put it this way. Make that choice. Sir, walk in the Spirit. Ma'am, walk in the Spirit. It is really amazing how many young people we have here. That means this. There's life at Cross Point Baptist Church. You're the life. Use your life for Him. Don't wait. Don't just be a follower. If you're going to be a follower, then follow Jesus Christ and be a leader for Him. Thank you, young people. You may be seated.